Today on Vox Talks Economics, access to 3G internet and the spread of infectious disease. Welcome to Vox Talks Economics from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. My name is Tim Phillips. Every week we bring you the best new research in economics. So, yeah, subscribe and you'll get every episode. Follow us on Instagram as well. You'll find us at Vox Talks Economics. During the global spread of COVID, well, we raced to manufacture and deliver a vaccine. Governments were forced to rely on non-pharmaceutical interventions. You remember, we were all asked to wear masks, and there was social distancing as well. Well, Carol Proper of Imperial College has just published a discussion paper on the stunning effectiveness of a less obvious intervention: access to 3G internet. She joins me now. Carol, welcome to Vox Talks Economics.
Hi, Tim. Nice to be here.
Carol, what inspired you to investigate this relationship between 3G and COVID?
Well, obviously, digital is super important for all sorts of things now. And in healthcare, there's a worldwide shortage of healthcare facilities. So one of the big interests in healthcare is how much digital and other things like AI can improve healthcare for people. That made us think about what kind of settings could we look at the relationship between digital and healthcare. And we thought, one of the things might be how digital affected the spread of COVID. So that's kind of how we got to the research question that we had, which is how does digital access affect the spread of COVID cases?
Did you have a suspicion that this would be effective? Broadly speaking, was there a relationship between digital access, 3G in this case, and rates of infection?
Well, stepping back a bit, there has been earlier work on digital and health, and it's kind of a mixed picture. I did some work on digital access and cesarean sections. Mm-hmm. Other people have done work on digital access and mental health. But when we looked at COVID and we looked at the relationship between 3G spread and COVID cases, we found a negative relationship. Now, that's not perhaps surprising because 3G doesn't occur randomly. It occurs sooner where people are richer and where people are better educated. And so that may simply be a kind of association. But there certainly is an association across a large number of countries between COVID cases and digital access, with lower COVID cases where there's higher digital access.
And when you're investigating this, you chose Indonesia. Why Indonesia?
Indonesia is a classic case. It's a really big pop country. It's mm-hmm. the sixth largest country in the world. It also had, in comparison to many of its Asian counterparts, high rates of infection from COVID. And finally, it has rather low spread of 3G, again, partly in comparison to its Asian neighbours. So it seemed a really both interesting case and indeed important case. You know, there are a lot of people in Indonesia.
This isn't the first time we have covered how digital access shapes our lives. In season two, Tim Phillips spoke to Sergey Guriev about how 3G has reduced trust in government and aided the rise of populism. Listen to how the mobile internet changed politics from November 2019.
So let's look at how you went about doing this research. As you say, we would expect there to be a relationship between digital access and rates of infection for all those reasons that you just explained. So how do you go about identifying a causal relationship in this case?
Well, the million-dollar question in economics,
yes,
isn't it?
It is.
And important, obviously, for policymaking. You need to have causal estimates for policymaking. Mm-hmm. The thing about 3G access is if you've got radio masts that you're using for 3G access, they can be taken out of service by various things. And one of the things is by lightning strikes. Lightning strikes are extremely common around the equator, and Indonesia happens to lie very near, or in some places, actually on the equator. So it's a great place to say, well, okay, we've got these 3G masts. We look at 3G masts or potential access before COVID. But we then exploit the fact that lightning strikes are not predictable and will take out infrastructure and therefore will lower access during the period when there are lots of lightning strikes. So that's essentially what we did to have a causal relationship. We also had to control for other things that are associated with lightning strikes that might also affect spread, things like rain. If it's very rainy, people may not be mixing so much. So we had great data so that we could control for weather patterns as well.
I remember from that COVID time, there was a huge disparity in the quality of the data that we had at the time about rates of infection and where those infections were taking place. I also know from the work I've done in telecoms that it's not always reliable, the figures that you have on coverage and those statistics either. So for Indonesia, how good was the quality of your data?
We were really helped in this, in that the Asian Development Bank and other people have collected great data on Indonesia. So we lose a lot of international work. We used a lot of collection of international work on 3G masts, but also on reanalysis data for weather. And we also had really good data for the population in Indonesia. So things like education, rurality, the number of people that worked in agriculture. Mm-hmm. We also had nightlight satellite data to be able to look at economic activity. So we had pretty good data, in fact, much better data than many other studies have been able to assemble.
Okay, let's get right to it then. So what was the effect of access to 3G on rates of infection?
We actually confirmed the negative relationship. And in fact, we've confirmed in causal estimates that the negative relationship was actually larger than the association. So in terms of impact, we found for a one standard deviation increase in internet access. And internet access on average is quite low in Indonesia. Uh-huh. We found for a one standard deviation that would equate to about a 45% decrease in COVID cases. Not COVID deaths, but COVID cases. Put that in population terms, moving from a low coverage to about a 34-33% coverage would decrease at a local provincial level about 8,000 cases from about 18,000 at the mean. Extrapolate that up to the whole population, it's about 1.8 million cases from the 4 million cases that there were in the population in the years that we look at. So it's a big effect.
Yeah.
I know.
Gosh, can you do an extrapolation forward in time rather than as a sort of a cross section? Can you say if you had given internet access to people who did not have it, then the number of cases would have declined?
Our analysis is cross sectional.
Hmm.
We did look a little bit at development over time, but I don't think I'd put a lot of weight on those figures. What I will say is what we looked at is heterogeneity by area. And we were doing heterogeneity because we wanted to understand a little bit the mechanisms. Our data was not set up for mechanisms. We don't know how much people actually use the internet. What we're looking at is potential internet access. But what we do have is this rich data, as I said, on people's characteristics, where they live, the characteristics of the area they live, the kind of work in the area they live. Basically, the big effect came from having an educated population, not degree educated, but simply literacy educated, and urban areas. So the areas in which the internet worked less well were areas in which the industry was predominantly agriculture and in which people weren't much lower levels of literacy. So if you think about what 3G was doing, it probably was doing quite a lot of text messages and other things. So if you're not very literate, you can't read those easily. And if you're in agriculture, you may just have to mix in order to harvest or do things with your crops. We can see these differences in patterns that persist from the very beginning of the pandemic to the end of the pandemic period that we studied. So those areas in which lots of people work in agriculture and have low levels of literacy are those which develop higher cases.
Carol, these are extraordinarily large numbers. How do they compare with the sorts of results that we found out for the effect of other non-pharmaceutical interventions during COVID?
Yeah, well, there's a wide variety of estimates of what NPIs have done in COVID, but they certainly compare to the best of those estimates for social distancing or mask wearing. Although we can't trace out exactly what happened, it's very clear that increasing digital access would have, or maybe in a future pandemic, will reduce the number of cases as much as some of the NPI interventions.
And from what you're saying, this was a persistent effect. It wasn't something that happened at the beginning to inform people, and then you would imagine people could be informed by other ways and then the effect would go away. This was persistent.
Well, as I say, our main analysis is cross-sectional, but it's certainly true that the differences between areas are persistent and the differences between areas with different coverage are persistent. What we don't study is exactly what the Indonesian health authorities at a regional level or at a national level were broadcasting to people.
Yeah.
Or indeed, we think more likely people talking to each other about the need for social
yes.
distancing.
Carrie, you've done a lot of work in this area. I have to say, when I read the paper, I read the results through two or three times thinking, is that right? Is that a typo? Were you surprised when the number popped out like that?
I think we were surprised. Obviously, the cross-sectional relationship is quite strong. So we knew that there was this very strong cross-sectional association. So I guess, you know, when you do something that you're looking for something causal, you don't quite know which way it's going to go in terms of bias. As I say, if you just look at the cross-sectional association, you get this big picture association as well.
So looking at this mechanism, clearly your research by itself doesn't tell us the mechanism by which it impacted the number of infections. But do you have any information about that? Do you have any suspicions about what was going on there?
No, unfortunately, that's one sort of downside. We have fantastic data on the lightning strikes, the digital coverage and where people live and what happens in those areas. But we didn't do a survey of exactly what they were doing to propagate the message of social distancing.
It has to be some information that causes people to change their behavior in some way, I guess. Looking at where this was most effective, would working from home, remote working, staying at home, is that likely to have had a big effect?
Yeah, we were able to look at the numbers remote working, and we did find that where people had opportunities to remote work, there obviously was less spread of cases.
Yes.
So obviously there's a combination of information and ability to understand and read that information or get that information and ability to actually socially distance. And obviously people who are both not literate and or have low levels of literacy and have to work in agriculture cannot or will not social distance as much as people who can obviously work from home.
We always look for policy relevance in these things. Now, providing digital infrastructure is seen as a good thing. It helps with education. It helps with information. I've not seen a strong argument before that it's going to protect people from infection. Is this an argument in favour of government investment in digital infrastructure?
Oh, definitely. We know that infrastructure investments have big positive spillovers, not necessarily in places where they were first expected, but in other places. So I think that investment in infrastructure is always a good thing. Clearly, in a place like Indonesia, where health facilities in some areas are pretty poor and doctors don't want to go and work in rural areas and there's a problem of worldwide shortage of nursing and other staff, it's really important to invest in digital to promote healthcare.
Now we are aware of that. Let us hope that the investments come into place before we need it the next time. And let's hope the next time is not too soon. Carol, thank you very much.
Thank you, Tim. It's been a pleasure.
The paper is called Digital Access and Infectious Disease Spread. And the authors, Johannes Kunz, Carol Proper, and Trong An Trinh. It is discussion paper 19120 at CPR.
This has been a Vox Talk from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. If you like what you are hearing, give us 5 stars. and tell your friends about us too. Next week on Vox Talks, the US is in a fiscal mess.